We are recording. I said last time, which was actually before the Yom Narayim, that I wanted to take a look at Hallel and Hadad. So we're going to start with the part that we always call Hallel, right? We all know it, and you probably know it by heart. If you don't, it's probably worth having a Siddur or Tanakh in front of you. So remember all the parts of Hallel. We're going to start. So we have Sukkot now, so you have more to say it. So it's the Parakim of Hallel, which are Tilim Kuf Yud Gimel to Kuf Yud Chet. And much of what I'm going to say is come from Yitzchak Es Shalom, who's in Los Angeles, who's got a couple of books on Mikra. And he had a few essays on Hallel, which is on Torah.org, but they seem to have disappeared. So I emailed them, and he actually mailed them to me, and he says he's going to be on YUTorah.org soon. But they're not there now, and he didn't want me to post it myself. So you have to trust me on the things that I say he's saying. But if I get it wrong, it's me, it's not him.
We trust you, Danny.
Anything that sounds too outrageous, it's just me. It's not him there. But I like the way he looks at Hallel as a whole. So the prakim that we call Hallel, in the halakh literature, in the Rishonim, is always called Hallel HaMitzri, the Egyptian Hallel. Okay, the first time that name is mentioned is in the Gemara. That's interesting Gemara. This is Gemara Brach, which is talking about dreams. And so, but how do you interpret dreams? And the answer is always you want to interpret your dreams to be good. Because Pitronot Holchot Acharapeh, and that the way you look at a dream is... So here the Gemara says Amarle, that one Amarat said the other one, Ekru'una Halala Mitzray Bechelma. I had a dream that they were reading Hallel Mitzrayim, the Egyptian Hallel. Amarle. Ooh.
Hello, hello. Hi.
How
are you? I'm late. I got mixed up. You wrote 17. I'm not used to that as a time.
What? I thought that's what Israelis do.
Well, in the army they do, but...
Really, they say 5
p.m.? They do. I'm just not used to it yet. Anyway, I'm
okay.
Here.
Okay, so, yes. Thank God.
Welcome.
Okay, so
this is so nice. Hi, Ruthie.
The Motzei Yom Kippur, Davida was there. I still want to get you together to talk to each other, right?
Thank God we're good.
You're good. Well, so where are you?
So we're in Telmund, where Ed and Jan live.
Right.
And Chol HaMoed Sukkot, Thursday, the meadows are coming, the zimbalists are coming.
Wow.
Everybody is here.
Okay, you have a sukkah up?
Yeah, we got our sukkah up. We have grandchildren, they big enough to do that. How's everybody there?
We're all good. I got my grandchildren here. It's the New Jersey crew came in.
Oh, nice.
That was nice.
Okay, so here we go.
Okay, we're going to talk about Hallel. Seems appropriate. Taking a break from all the depressing parts about all the wars and Shmuel Bet. We're going to just focus on Tehillim and the happy parts.
Good.
So saying that Hallel in Rishonim is called what we call Hallel, the part that's in the Seder, is called Hallel HaMitzri, the Egyptian Hallel. And the first reference to that is here we go on Bracha, we're talking about a dream. Amar Lei, one Amar said the other, Ikrun Halela Mitzra Bechelma. And he said, I had a dream that they were saying Halel. I'm sure most Chazanim have dreams like that. Dream, I had a vision of Halel Mitzra. I had a dream of the Halel of Mitzrayim. There were beings read in my dream. Positively, and Amar Lei Nisi Mitracha Shilei Lach, that you're going to have miracles happen to you. That's the way to read that dream. The question is, what does it mean, Hallel Mitzra? The Rashi says, Hallel Mitzra. The Hallel that we read in Pesach at the Seder, the Fish Yesh Hallel Acher, because there's another Hallel, Akore Hallel Gadol. And that the Gemara explicitly tells us what Hallel Gadol is. So there's the Kornelizia Hallel Mitzri to distinguish it. So that's what Rashi says. It's Hallel Mitzri because it's when we tell the story of Mitzrayim. Because Hallel Gadol, the great Hallel, is the term for Tilim Kuf Lamed Zayin, Kuf Lamed Vav, rather, which is the Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, Hodu Lelokei Elokim, the 26th verses of Ki Liyom Chasdo. And the Gemara says that, Hechad Halagadol, which is Halagadol, Rav Yehuda Omer, it's a Hodu Ad Naharot Bavel until the next. That's what we say on Shabbos in Tzvika Zimra. And we'll have to look at that parak and why it gets people called, why that one's called Gadol as opposed to the much longer Hala that we have. So the Tehillim that we say every Yom Tov, it needs a different name. But Rashi says, no, it's Hala Mystery because we had the Seder. Hala Gadol, the Seder also. Right, we say all of Hallel, and then we go immediately into Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, Hodu Adonim, and then we finish up with Nishmat and the end of Hallel. But most people are asleep by that point. And nobody's got a good nigun for Hallel HaGadol. So, I mean, just for Rashi to say that we read Hallel HaMitzri, as it were, on for Pesach, I understand, because the Gemara explicitly says we read Hallel HaGadol on Pesach. So that can't be distinction. Most other people say, well, it's connected to the fact that in the middle of Hallel that we say, it's got the Betzei Yisrael Mitzrayim. Right? So it mentions Mitzrayim. So that's why it's the Hallel Mitzri. But still, also talks about Yitzhi Mitzrayim. Part of those verses in there, remember, you might have your sitter in front of you. It says, L'makei Mitzrayim b'vcho rehem, kilom chasto. Yotzei Yisrael b'tocham, kilom chasto. And we went to the seed, kilom chasto. All that's in Hallel Gadol also. So, why is it called Hallel HaMitzri, as opposed to Hallel Gadol? Because Hallel Gadol fits all the same criteria. We say it at the Seder, we say it on Yom Tov, it has mentions of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. What's Hallel Mitzri? So that's really what I want to look at that one. Start by looking at where the Gemara discusses where these parakim come from. The Hallel we say. And the source of this is all the Gemara in Pesachim. Kufin Zayin to Kufin Yitzchak. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Shir B'Shabbat Torah. Shirat Hayam. Moshe B'Yisrael Amrohu B'Shah She'olu Min Hayam. That's easy, right? As Yashir as we've said when Israel came out of the sea. V'Hallel Zeh Mi Amro. And this Hallel, who said it? That's the context. And again, the context is talking about the Hallel that we say. Hallel from that we say for Yom Tov. And the answer he gives here is Nevi'im Shebeneha. The Nevi'im that were on. So Omrim Oto Al Kol Perak Uperak.
I'm going to interrupt. There's this clicking sound. Do you hear it, Ruthie and Janet?
Okay, so let me see if I can successfully switch.
It's okay. It's okay, but now and then it covers your voice. And
yeah.
I am going to see if I can switch to phone audio. And let me see if I can do this. Now, last time I did it, I ended up with both and it just didn't work. I'm going to dial in 301-715.
Do you remember the very beginning I had that issue? And yeah. Then it was discovered that there was some modem near my computer.
Welcome to Zoom. Enter your meeting ID followed by pound.
So we had it got better when I switched to 6012.
Enter your participant ID followed by pound. Otherwise, just press. You are in the meeting now. There are 3 participants in the meeting. This meeting is being recorded.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, so now I'm on my phone for audio. I'm video here, and it's just a little bit weird. Do you still hear the clicking?
No, not yet.
Okay, so the audio from my end is a little bit worse. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuah, Shibur Shibur Torah, Moshe V Yisrael, Amru B'Shah Shalom Aniyam, Shirat Hayam. That's explicit in the Torah. That was when they came out. Good. Halal Zeh Mi Amra. What about Halal? Where did that come from? You look at the Gemara, why are they connecting those? Nevi'im Shebeneihem, the Nevi'im that were among them, Tiknu Lehen Yisrael, Ve'etakana for Yisrael, Shi Omri Moto Ako Perek Uperek. They should say it all the time. They should say Hallel. Any troubles, they should say Hallel. Ukshanig Alin, and when they're saved, Amrimato Aguatan, they should say Halal when they're saved. Okay? So it's been composed by Nevi'im Shebenehem.
What does El Kol Perek Uperek mean?
On any incident, a period of time, called Sarah Vitsara and Ishinig Alin.
Okay.
Not a pair, but not a chapter of life, as it were.
Okay.
Anything that happens, you should say Halal. When bad things happen, say Halal as a way of praying that shouldn't happen. And when good things happen, you say Halal to thank God that it happened. That's the Nevi'im Shebenehem. And the Marsha explains this, source 5, Kevin Shemafurash Beho Shirat Az Yashir. Since we have this, Az Yashir is in the Torah, Lo Neima B'Halal Zed, the Moshe Yisrael Amru. Don't say that Moshe and Bnei Yisrael composed it Halal. Now, why would you think Halal was written then in Tehillim? I'll talk about that. And Nevi'im Shebenehem, that was other Nevi'im that were among them. But there were Nevi'im among Bnei Yisrael. Even back in Mitzrayim, that's explicit in Yechezkel, one of the things we quote in part in the Seder, that Yechezkel telling Bnei Yisrael much later, remember when you were in Egypt, I sent Nevi'im to tell you to throw away your Avodah Zarah, you didn't listen, and I almost wiped you out, but Chil Hashem, I didn't do it. Amar to Aleihem, right? Who's it said to? Was it Aram? And Ramat Hashem, Amar Hashem Elkim, Biyom Bachari Yisrael, Besay Yadil Lizar Bat Yaakov, Ba'odah Lahem B'yatzi Tribe. I made myself known to them in Egypt. I mean, Israel existed in Egypt. They had a culture, then they had an Nevi'im there, and the Seder Olam lists them from other various sources of Tanakh. Ve'elah Nevi'im, Shenit Nabub Mitzrayim. These are Nevi'im who were in Egypt. We have from Divrayim, where B'nei Zerach, Zimri, Ve'eta, Ve'hema, Ve'kol Kol, Ve'dara, Kulam Chamisha, that's listed in Divrei Yamim as being who had a Ruach Kodesh in Egypt, and Umoshe Va'aron. Moshe and Aaron we know about. Everyone knows that.
What about Miriam?
That's a good point. So why is Miriam not listed here? Now, I would assume it's the androcentricity of the Seder Olam and the Tana who wrote it. That's right. So Miriam is explicitly listed as the Nevi'ah in Egypt. So I think that is definitely missing that. You're absolutely right.
Another way we know there were other Nevi'im is, doesn't Hashem say to Moshe, you're different as a Navi because you I saw face to face, but the others
right,
not.
So that was later when they actually had left, talking to Moshe and Aaron specifically. Oh. Moshe and Miriam, Aaron and Miriam specifically.
Oh, this is in
the Tzrayim. That even before Moshe comes, that these guys here, listen to Zimri, Eitan, Heman, Kalko, and Darda, were there telling Bnei Israel, you need to get rid of your Avodah Zarah.
Oh.
They weren't. Bnei Israel were down to the 49th level of Tuma. They were supposed to be better than they were, but they were redeemed anyway. But still, so the Gemara says, okay, Halel that we have, Halel Zeth, was written by those Nevi'im. Said, okay, we're going to do this from now on. And the Gemara objects, wait a minute. Here's Sefer Tehillim, written by David, right? Says, well, Halal Zemi Amro. Gemara continues, same Gemara. Rabbi Yossi said, Elazar Beni Omer, that my son Elazar, really smart, says that Moshe Yisrael Amru B'Shasha Olo Menayam. Moshe Yisrael said that when they came out of the, they said Halal, not just Shiratiyam, but Halal also when they came out of the sea. But Chalikim Alav Chavei Rav, and all of his colleagues disagree with him. Lomar said David Amra. He says David says him. The Nirin Devara Midivrahim. I think he's right.
Who's his words? They think he's right. Which one is he?
Right. Rabbi Yossi is talking about his Rabbi Yossi's son Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar's colleagues in the yeshiva.
So they're saying Rabbi
Yossi
is right.
Yes, yeah, so Rabbi Yossi is saying, I think my son's right.
Okay.
Which is nice, right? Should agree with your son, but he says, it makes more sense. Efshar Yisrael, Shachat V'Pizcheyem, V'Nut L'Lovayim, V'Lo Amru Shira, in Terabed. Question mark. half the day is gone. David is 400-odd years after Yetziat Mitzrayim, 350 years afterwards. Half the day, they have been bringing their Karbanot in the Mishkan. They've celebrated Pesach. They've had their Lulavim. How could they not said Hallel? They must have said Hallel as part of that. How could they not have said Hallel? So Hallel must be older than David, right? The Gemara then goes on and gives a whole list of times. You want to say hi to everybody? No. Yeah, okay, that was Yael. Yael is over there playing with the toys. He said, here are all the times that Hallel was said, historical periods. Rabbanan Hallel is in the Amro. Right, this Hallel, who said it? Rabbi Yezer Omer Moshe Bamru, right, that's what you quoted him. B'shash Amdu'al, yeah, when they stood by the sea. That's when they came out, but when they were waiting there. We're not sure what happened. Omer Yeshua of Yisrael Amru, B'shash Amdu'al Hem Malchei Hanan. Yeshua said it when they're finding their ward. Rabbi Yezer Amadai Omer, Devoro Barak Amru. B'shash Amar Alem Sisra. Doug, Devoro. Rabbi Yezer Menazariah Omer, Chizkiya V'siyato Amru, B'shash Amar Alem Samchelev. Again, this is a parak, we call parak or parak, it's not hallel. Akiva Omer Hanana Michel Dazaria Amru, remember from Sefer Daniel, they said it when they were facing a new Netzer. Yossi Glili said Mordechai Be'Esther Amru, said hallel. Chachamim Omrim, no, the sum is, Nevi'im Shebenayim Tignolahem Yisrael Shu Omrim Motol Kol Parak Bekar Parak. Bottom line is what we started out with, that the Nevi'im was Metaket, we're Metaket that they should be said in every period of time, Kol Tera V'Tera, Shlot Tavor Alayhen, Shkialim Omrim Atal Gulatat. Word of bad things, say Hallel. Good things happen, say Hallel.
So here it sounds like it's all about Ge'ula.
Right. It's, again, praying for Ge'ula. This is all the, when to Amdu Alayhem, when they were standing there worried, and also when they're being saved. And the other thing is that the first comment about it doesn't make sense. How could they say it? You know, what they must have said something at Pesach and Sukkot, and they had the Lulavayim, they gave their Pesachim. So there, one is the time of the miraculous salvation, both the time of the Tzara and the time of the Geula, and the other time to say Hallel is when we remember those times. That's the Yom Tov, when we're recreating those. And I wrote here, Ein Kam Makom L'Harich, and I recommend to that, there are two sides of Hallel. One is a historical and one is contemporary. But well, as a side, that's important for Pesach. In the Seder, we don't say a bracha on the Hallel that we say. One reason given is because it's the first kind, that we are feeling like we're there. It's not, we're not remembering the events of Yetziat Mitzrayim. We are at Yetziat Mitzrayim. We're not saying Hallel as a mitzvah like we do on Yom Tov. We're saying, because we're there, thank God for taking us out. Right there. So, we're back with this. David wrote Sefer Tehillim. What did David write it? And how do we have? And we're saying, no, it was written the way back when Bnei Israel left Egypt. But then that doesn't make sense because it's full of, how we have is full of references to things that happened much later. The whole Beit Aaron, Tov Hashem, when Aaron wasn't, Beit Aaron didn't exist then. They weren't separate Kohanim at that point. It talks about Yehud, Likud Show, and Yehud has its own thing. It talks about going to Beit Hashem, talks about Yerushalayim. All these things are much later. So I think the answer is obvious is that, yeah, it may have been original, but it's been edited in the future years, and David added things in later. Killing what we finally have now is a much later composition. It's interesting the way the Ramban puts it. Exactly that answer. Where does Hallel come from? The Ramban is looking at commenting on the Rambam's Sefer Mitzvot. The Rambam says that Hallel, saying Hallel, is not a mitzvah d'oraita. Can't be because it's not in the Torah. It was written by David much later. Kill is much later than the mitzvah Torah. It can't be a mitzvah d'oraita of Hallel. Ramban says, wait, that can't be, that's not right. But Pliya Sha'amar Rav, though, and it's very strange that the Ramban would write this. So Nen Mitzvahle, and that he's trying to understand, he's confused, Ha'ech Nachshov to create Hallel, to Shivach Bo David, Bakel, to Moshe Rabbeinu Tzivah Bo. How can you say that this Hallel, we have a mitzvah saying Hallel, that David wrote much later than Moshe, and Moshe didn't, the Torah command us to do that. That doesn't make sense. That's the Rambam. He quoted the Rambam here. Gamba Einai, but the Rambam saying, that I don't understand what he means. So as Mozel, because the Rambam himself says, Mana b'mitzvah tefila, that says there's a commandment to David of prayer. So the mitzvah, the rite of tefillah, is much older than the tefillah that we have today. We have words in the siddur, but that's not what the mitzvah, the rite is. It's to David. And you can say what words were appropriate. But the actual words we say morning and evening, that's a much later development. That's the kind of the chachamim. Gamba takana zulo pirshu matba'a shel tefillah, and even the original takana of davening three times a day, which David mentions in Tehillim. Even within that, the actual words were not set. Elahim mitpalim kol echa ve'echa b'fit zachot l'shono, and everyone can, you can pray what felt right to you in your own expressiveness. B'chachmatav, whatever you understood. The Ezra Beit Dino, and then it was only much later, post-exilic time, under the Tiknu Yurchet Barachot. That's when Shimon Esrei that we have today was invented. Okay, that's tefillah. So there's a mitzvah that writes, according to the Rambam, of tefillah. With the actual words that we say today, those can be much later. That's fine. The issue of Orchot, we say a call, and they set a text so we could all, didn't have to make stuff up on the spot. We could everyone could say something. In their Rav, so the Ramban is saying about the Rambam. In their Rav, the Rambam tells us, he teaches us this, Ubira Telot of Yerushalayim, and completely is fine with that for tefillah. In Cain, Mama Lama Yipaleh Ala Hallel. So why should he have the same question about Hallel? Should establish Moshe Bistila. So say Hallel is a mitzvah, don't write that. It's possible. Now the Gemara says it's a Torah, but still much older than David. Shemri Yisrael Shira B'mo'adehem, Lakel, right? Shiotim Mitzrayim B'karla Matayam, V'dilema B'adato. So that clearly they had some kind of Hallel then, something they had to say. And she was always like talking. Uva David Nikhila Hemata Hallel. So David Sefer Tehillim puts it in writing. That is written there basically the Siddur of the Beit HaMikdash. Today she Yashiru Bo, so that's what David said. This is what you're going to sing. So it's much later.
So if it's from the Torah, it's not specifically spelled out. It's Moshe Misinai, kind of from the Torah.
Well, so I think I would read the Gemara is pretty clear that it's not. Admitted from the Torah. That's Chacham Nevi'im Shebeneim Tiknu. That was a Takana, but just a very old one. Three Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Rambam's pointing out that the fact that it's not, there's no text in the Torah of Hallel doesn't mean it can't be.
Oh. But no one says, he doesn't say it is the writer.
Right. He just says that the Rambam's reasoning is wrong.
Okay.
Gemara argues. Okay. And that's what he says. I
think Rabbi Shulman talked about the idea that some of the Tehillim that David wrote down were brought forward, that he knew from, he incorporated different, like Shirat Shohana. You know, was incorporated earlier stuff, you know. She didn't make the whole thing up by herself. That there were
some. That's where I'm going to go. I think that's exactly right. And that's the way you want to read Sefer Tehillim, as being the same way you would look at the Siddur today, as being this accumulation over millennia of older texts there.
Yeah.
So, right. Ramban doesn't say that. Ramban just saying, okay, it was something and David wrote it. But I mean, Gemara again says Hallel Zeh. This Hallel implies that the same thing that we're looking at here. But it can't be the same words because there's lots of things that don't apply to Bnei Israel back in Egypt.
So in the counting when whoever counts the mitzvot, 613, the Rambam has a count, is saying
right.
Hallel.
That's exactly that's the Sefer Mitzvot, is the Rambam 613.
Is saying Hallel.
Is not in there.
Not in there. Okay.
Right. And again, the Ramban comment was that when the Rambam talks about Hallel, the Rambam says it can't be a Daraita because it's written by David. And Ramban says, I'm not disagreeing that it's not a Daraita, that's fine. But
it could be.
It could be. So we're going to look at the Gemara, which says Takana there. That's a better reason. Okay? So this is the way the Netziv looks at this. This idea of this older text incorporated into the newer one. And again, it doesn't change, you know, whether you want to say that Tehillim as a whole was finally composed well after, you know, time of Ezra was supposed to feel like whether it's Lily David or not. Same idea that there's older text in there. Okay, so when Netziv puts it, why did the Ita B'Psachim Kufi Zayavah? So we have the Gemara. The Gemara says explicitly, "Kol Tishbachot Shebehillim David Amram." Okay, that all the everything in Tehillim David said them. And it says, "Kol Tefilot Ben David Yishai." This is the Tefilah of David Ben Yishai. But says explicitly, "Who Mishim Shad David Hegya V'Hosif Bahem." David thought about them. He arranged them and added the text to them. I'm going to assume Hallel is a much older text. Hallel Zeh is a much older text. Okay. There's some form in there. So we end up with basically a documentary hypothesis. We're not going to say about the Torah. So we'll say Tehillim, there are pieces there. There are strata there. We can try to guess about what the original was. Realizing it's all guesswork. We have no older text explicitly there. But, you know, we don't know what came from where. But it's interesting to think about that. You know, what was David's words added into there? What came later? What was original from way back when? But the bottom line is, I think that's the answer. Why is it called Hallel HaMitri? The answer is because the Hallel that was composed that came out of Egypt. This was the original Hallel as composed. And we'll see the words, as you mentioned, Shirat Chana. Shirat Chana uses a lot of the same words that Hallel does. Which came first? Was she quoting someone else's Hallel, quoting her? But the irony of saying that Hallel HaMitri is because this is the Hallel that came out of Egypt, means that the Psukim of B'tzei Yisrael Mitzrayim are a red herring. But that's not Mitri. That clue was put after they left Egypt. Hallel HaMitri, I would say, is, well, the parts that are just generic. The Yisrael Mitzrayim were things that were added about specific miracles that happened along the course of history. And there's an interesting, see if it continues on that. That's what I'll say that, and that's the idea that we have these older texts that are incorporated later into Sefer Tanakh. And that answers some questions about how we understand Tanakh. He's going to give an example about Shema. Go ahead. The fact that Shema, you know, the way we say Shema, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu Shem Echad. You look at all, that's quoted by David, by Moshe in Sefer Devarim, which is Moshe's long speech at the end of his life. And the wording there is wrong. The rest of Devarim, Moshe is talking to Israel and says, Hashem Elokecha. It's the only place where it says Hashem Elokecha. Ramban's very bothered by this. The Tzitz says, you know why? We can understand why. So let's read this. So now we can understand a whole lot of midrashim. I try to explain midrash mikraot she'amra David v'chadameh atzmod tefilato, that we said that David is saying these tehillim al dor kamonim, but he's really talking about previous generations. Ani mishum shirim kubalim ohavidim v'chachmatam, that the Chazal either had a tradition that this was true or they figured out that this must have been the case. So Sia Inyan, Shenechtav Oto Mikra, that are the way the words are written in the later text, Loyer Al Izika Tevka, Elbiz Iz Div Washan Acher. It should have been written somewhere other way. It was contemporary say to David or Moshe for Shema, it should have been written differently. But they're quoting there. But since they had older texts that they were incorporating, so when they're writing it out, and the text was appropriate for the older text, and that was transmitted orally, or they may have had other written books. We don't have any of those older books. So later generations.
Would it be cool if there was some Dead Sea Scroll fragments?
Right. The problem is Dead Sea Scrolls go back. It would be nice, but they're not. The Dead Sea Scrolls are old, but they're not old enough.
Yeah.
You know, they go back 400, 500 BCE, that's still close right. enough time.
Right.
You know, so it'd be nice to, I don't think we have any,
not old.
Any scrolls left. So all we have are shards of pottery that last that long. So you have pieces of things, you have names, and everyone gets very excited and they try to find that. So you'd like to find some kind of older text there. So all we're left with is the detective work. You know, here's text in front of us, what looks like it's older. Yeah, it's the same thing that the academics will do with document and try to do that to the Torah. We're gonna do that with Tehillah. That's not up to Carson, they're not gonna stone us for that. Okay, so So it was quoted directly as it was, both Lashon Mekubal Vachbar from the, they were quoted directly from the older text. It's much easier to understand, say, Kohelet that way. A lot of the sentences don't make any sense. You say, oh, you say, okay, that was an old saying that Kohelet is building upon. Tov Shemi Shemim Tov, the classic model, that sort of thing. You know, take that. The introduction to everything was an old saying then. So he's going to give an example of Shema. Okay, Mikra, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We know that. Nikshab is a Rabban. The Rabban is a problem that Amai Lo V'Tiv Hashem Elokecha. Not that God isn't Moshe's God as well, but the way Moshe, the rest of Devarim is all Moshe telling Bnei Yisrael Elokecha. It's all second person. He never used the expression Hashem Elokeinu. At one point, he does. That's Hashem Elokeinu B'Vayar Elohim B'Chol Rev Lamar. K'mo Lashon Kol Parsha. Everything else there is Hashem Elokeinu. So the way he would explain it is that Shema Yisrael is a quote. That everyone, Bnei Yisrael, everyone knew that one. Where does that come from? That's the old, that's the Midrash Haggadah he's going to bring in. That's Chazal. From the Zemu Vark, Kedash HaChazal, B'Kart Makom Shenago. This is the, oh, we all know this Midrash. Shepazik Zenem Rabbi Meyakov Rabbanav. The same old tell.
Wow.
That Yaakov wasn't sure what was going on with his sons. Would they last in Egypt? And all of his sons said, Shema Yisrael. Yisrael meaning Yaakov, that's his name. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. We will remain loyal. That's the Midrash. Instead of saying that explains why it's worded this way in Devarim, because Moshe's quoting this quote that everyone else knew. So he's quoting it directly. Except the Medrash then makes sense. So Batura al pi Hashem b'Yamashah, that's written down. So Kuberman is quoting this. That the point here, first about Tehillim, is that lo raka token al gam ha-signal, that we're saying is that when we're saying Hallel, it's not that just the idea of Hallel was older, and David wrote a new text and said, here, use this, but the signal, the actual words were ancient, came from previous times. Lomar mubu'at muduyaket. Now, there's a specific text that they had. Lo katva adaya b'text, shel Tanakh, but it was not written down in the text of Tanakh. Yeah, Rav Kuberman is from Ireland, so he uses a lot of English words there.
Huh.
That's text. I talked about that. A lot of modern Israeli writing uses English as its Latin. You know, I sound fancy when I use Latin words. They sound fancy when they use English words. So the text shel Tanakh, lafuki mitor shel peh. That's different from Torah shel peh, which we have asher tochel bilvad hayadua, which we know what it's supposed to mean, but we don't say the words themselves are what came from Moshe. It's a concept. It's the idea. It's a fact. It's not the words themselves. They were saying there are texts that actually were ancient. They were added. Finally, Dubar Eifo. So therefore, we're talking here al Nusach Shel Ketuv, as something that we'd call Ketuv. There's a fixed text. Shadaylu Nichtav, the Sifrei Tanakh. That's not written down in Tanakh. And unfortunately, we don't have the older text. All we have is Tanakh in front of us. Clearly, they had other texts. They existed. They're mentioned. That they had some kind of text there. So it's not really that radical, okay? That there were other texts existed, Jews like books. They had something out there, but they would be incorporated later. That's where I'm going to look at Hallel Mitzri. the original form in that, that was old, the prayer we have today, and that part of it is that it's a praise of Hashem, right? Hallel, God, you're great. Hallel Hashem, Kol Goyim. Chazal says it's supposed to be said Al Kol Tzara B'Tzara, right? It's supposed to be said in times of trouble as well. But I think that it represents what I would call prophetic prayer. The idea is that we're thanking God for having already saved us, even that it happened, it hasn't happened yet. That's a little bit of, it can be a little bit of chutzpah. Like my wife tells me, thank you for washing the dishes, but I haven't done it yet, because that's a way of saying, go wash the dishes. Okay, we say, thank you God for saving us. We're not meaning, you know, yeah, I expect that. It's a matter of faith. I have faith that God will save us, okay? That we're assuming it happened. We're thanking Him for His mercy, even though we're asking for it. Okay, that's an important part of Yom Kippur, that we assume that we're going to be forgiven.
And Danny, we don't say Hallel for that reason now.
That's a good point. That's interesting. You see, I look at the Gemara there. We don't say Hallel at that point. We only say it when good things happen, as opposed to when we're looking at it. But I don't have a good answer for that. Maybe we should. You know, we say it, so we do say it in Yom Kippur over and over again about that you are going to forgive us, you are the Sulchan, even though we're asking for forgiveness, we're assuming it's going to happen. Okay?
I thought the whole call in Yom Kippur was the idea that God has forgiven us.
Right, so it has both of those sides of it, right? We're asking for the forgiveness, but it's going to happen. V'yom Hashem Salach Kibracha, we assume that it happened. We don't say Hallel the way the Gemara says it.
Right.
Which is interesting. Well, of course, and aside from Matir Yonah. Anyone pay attention to Matir Yonah? The end of Yom Kippur, everyone's kind of feeling a headache and falling asleep at that point. It's really long, though. But when Yonah goes into the, gets swallowed by the fish, he prays to God. But his prayer is not, please God save me. It's, thank you God for having saved me. God prepares a big fish, and he's in the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. And Yonah prays to God from the belly of the fish. Karati, so this is the perfect test. It's not by ekra. Remember that grammar. The text is, I have called, Sarali, Vashem, Vayaaneni, and he did answer me. Betin Sha'ol Shabati, I had prayed, Shamata, you had heard my cry. But here I say it's more, it's a future perfect. It's, I will have called out, and you will have heard my call. So I will bring the I will bring a carbon Torah to you. I will pay my debt.
Janet raised a really interesting thought that we don't do this now. Like when there's a terrible threat to Israel, we don't say, "You have saved us."
We don't. Which is, I think it's interesting because the Gemara says that is what it specifically says, right? Al kol tzara b'tzara. So I don't have an answer to that.
Yeah.
So Janet, we're going to leave that as exercise for you. Right? Yes, we have faith. Let's figure this out, right?
Because usually what we do when there's a problem is we get together and say Tehillim.
Right. But they're more the Mimakim Kraticha. I'm calling out from the depths.
Yeah.
We don't say Hallel. We say the prayer Tehillim. We don't say the thank you, right. God, Tehillim.
Yeah.
We don't use that future perfect tense or whatever.
You will have saved us. We should do that from now on. So everyone else is saying Mila Makim. You're going to say sing Hallel. It seems appropriate, right? That's right. We say Mekim Me'afradal. From the depth of the, we're still in the Ashpoh, but still Me'ashpoh Yom Yom. That's what Hallel is there for. That's what Gemara is saying there. But you're right, we don't do that. Okay, a couple minutes left, but I want to look at Hallel. Then we're going to start looking at the text of Hallel. We all know it. Everyone knows Hallel by heart. There's six Parakim in Hallel. Talked about that five of them are Hallelujahs. Hallelujah Adi Hashem. Then Menach Nivraka Metavram Hallelujah. And Hallel Kol Gayim. And then the last parak is Hodul Hashem Kito. There's a Hallel and a Hodah, which we talked about before. And then we divide two of those chapters up. Skip half of those chapters for Chatzi Hallel. You think of it having eight sections of Hallel. And I'm going to first look at this first seven, the Hallelujah one. And Hallel here. Let's go back. You see this here? Let me just set it. There we go. So first back starts with Hallelujah, then ends with Hallelujah. Next parak doesn't start with a Hallelujah. Basically, the previous Hallelujah church divided chapters. It doesn't end with a Hallelujah either. And that's what's important. That it keeps going into the next parak, which doesn't start with Hallelujah. So Parakim, Kuf Yudalad, B'tei Yisrael, and Lolanu really are one whole section. And we divide it into three parts. We'll talk about why this divides three parts. We just say Lolanu is what we skip, and then we go into Shem Zecharoni Yevarech, the part we always sing. That's the third part. The Yisrael, Lolanu, and Shem Zecharoni Yevarech are the three parts of the second section. And that ends with a Hallelujah. That divides it up in the text. Next parak is a Havti, which we divide into two parts. And then we have Ma'ashiv Lashem. Then that ends with a Hallelujah. Again, dividing it up. Next part is a short one. Subsukim ends with a Hallelujah. So four sections in here. And then Hodu Lashem that starts with a Hodu and ends with a Hodu. It's called an inclusio. That's starting and ending with the same. With the same word, so it makes a section. And in fact, this is a picture of the Aleppo Codex, the oldest text of Tanakh with Nikudot in it, basically, 800 or so? And if you can see it in here, that's, etc. There's no break at all between the Tzeit Yisrael and Lolana. Go straight through. All the other ones have paragraph breaks. Hallelujah, 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 etc. So really would consider those two parakim, Tzeit Yisrael Lolana, as one parak itself. The fact it's divided into separate chapters is not... The chapter divisions are all a Christian invention. We can ignore that. So there are four parts of the Hallelujah part. We're going to do the Hodu separately. Right, there's an introductory part, Gartofi Gimel, which if you look at, Gimel is a bit of broad sense. Kufi Gimel doesn't say anything specific. Very broad. Halu Abde Hashem, Ramal Kol Gayim, that's sort of specific there. So I'd say that's part of, I would assume that's part of the original. For no reason not to. Again, it's still a guesswork. There's nothing there about specific historical events. This is just
Danny, I just want to pipe up that the Aleppo Codex today can be viewed, and this could be important to you, Phyllis. You can go see the Aleppo Codex at the Israel Museum. It's on loan from the Ben Tzvi Institute, which is in Rehovia.
Okay, I believe that. So this, you can see the Aleppo Codex online.
Wow.
Read it entirely. So that's why I didn't actually go to take a picture in Rehovia. Okay, I actually got this from the online text. You can go over here, get the website here.
That's pretty amazing.
It is amazing to get that. And it's beautifully written.
Beautiful. And dots. Okay, so, we're not used to seeing dots.
That's what makes it so useful is that is where we get our Nekudot from. That's one of the original sources. That's where our Nekudot looks like. It has a trope in there too, the Tamei Mikra there.
Wow.
All bulldoze. I mean, this is all. That's right. And the Rambam talks about going to Aleppo to look at so he can write a Torah correctly.
You tell us you can go to Jerusalem and see it.
Come.
Yeah, so
when
it's
you
not
visit,
complete, right? People have already.
Janet, right? When you visit, that's what we'll do.
Okay, that sounds good.
You go to the Israel Museum.
Well, by then it might be back at the Ben Zvi Institute.
So you got to come quick.
I wish I could.
So interesting is that the Torah parts of the Aleppo Codex are missing.
I know, they lost some pages.
It's kind of the same story. They're missing pages of it. Now, occasionally, I'm sure there are collectors who have some of it. It was all smuggled out of Syria, out of Aleppo in 56, somewhere around the 50s. The Mossad tried to get it, got it out.
It's a great book. Got out.
Also, the story is pretty sad about the way Ben Zvi Institute got most of the pages to begin with. It was never returned back to the community.
There's a lot of corruption going on there.
What?
There's a lot of corruption going on there.
Yeah.
But Hallel is still a good thing. We like Hallel, Mashiv Me, Ekeret Abayit. Right, this is good. Again, this is all generic. But the next part, though, is the part that talks about specific incidents. Take Yisrael Mitzrayim. Right, Hayam Ra'an, Ra'an Mayanos. This is a separate section. Hopefully, it's sort of like a Mayan. These are all things that happened. And then, again, this continues. We have a separate paragraph, but it continues where it says, Lo'alanu Hashem Lo'alanu. And the Gemara explicitly says, this is part of the older text that was said. This is not for us. Ki Shimcha Ten Kavod. Give glory. Again, this is talking to the audience, right? The beginning starts out with, I go back all the way. Here we go. Halu Adei Hashem. Go. The psalmist is talking to the Abdi Hashem. You need to go give glory to God. And then he continues on with, Lord, it's not for us, but you need to give glory to God. Continues on. This is also very specific. This is Beit Aaron, Yivarach Beit Yisrael. Here.
Who's the narrator here? Lo Lanu.
That's that. I think when I look at this in detail, we'll figure out who that is, right? Who's the us?
Yeah.
I think the us here is where we started with is. Come on back. Is the Abdi Hashem. The Zechadin telling, you Abdi Hashem, that's the us. We are all praising God. Then Perek, that's Lolanu, and then Perek said Zion, now is first person, no Lolanu, it's just me. Hati ki Yishma. Right? The Darai La Hashem HaShalei Megdecho, the Tochek Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim. So surely you would argue that this Perek is the David.
David, yeah.
That's got to be lit. That's clearly not Moshe telling them you need to bring your carbon on your shrine. There was no shrine at that point.
Right.
And that's good. And then it ends with the Halo Hashem Kol Goyim. Right. Again, going from us, the Abdi Hashem, to everyone. Yigavar Aleinu Chasdeh, because Hashem's chesed is too great. I would say it's too great for us.
Basically, it's the promise of everybody being redeemed, no?
Yeah, I think that's what the redeemed part is, this praising Hashem part. It's Halu at Hashem. And we are the Abdi Hashem. We're praising God. Now we need the Kol Goyim, Shavu Kol Umim, because it's too much for just us. Everybody in the world needs to praise God. Emet Hashem Le'olam, and that's where the Hallelujah ends with that. That's the basic structure of Hallel, of the Hallelujah part of Hallel. Hodu is a different one. We'll talk about that as well. So that's the general structure there. We're going to have to look at it in great detail. That's what I put over here. So I would say that to summarize the beginning, first parak, Halu Adei Hashem, and the last one, Halu Kol Goyim, is kind of the general structure of it. Begin and end with the design of you put your own specific incident into the middle of that. As my way I would look at the original model of Halu that was the Tukan, that later becomes a fixed text that specifically mentions taking Israel Mitzrayim and all those other miracles as well. But I will stop here, and then we'll go on to look at the text of Hallel in detail. Great. That was Hallel Mitzrayim, Hallel that came out of Egypt.
You know, one of the things that's sticking with me is that interpretation of Shema Yisrael, that B'nai Yaakov were saying it to an individual person, Yisrael. Ooh.
Right. You've never heard that before?
I never heard that. I always think, Hero Israel, God is our God, Israel, a big thing of Israel, not Yaakov.
I just heard that Rabbi Soloveitchik, talked about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the idea of where does Baruch Shem Kavod Malkuto come from? The Gemara says, well, it was part of the dialogue between Yaakov and his sons. Yaakov's response was Baruch Hashem. But Moshe didn't put that in, didn't quote that. So we say it quietly because it's not really part of the Shema. So that, I think that's the power of it, that what we're saying is to Israel as a whole. That's what Moshe is saying. The fact that he's using an older quote doesn't take away from that power.
Okay. But Moshe is saying,
he's using it, my Israel, to everyone.
It makes sense to me that he would say Elokeinu and include himself. Then he addresses them. Yeah.
Let's say the idea that it's an older quote that he's using in context here. And I think it adds to the start and sweep of it.
Okay.
What Rabbi Soloveitchik said about it is that the whole thing about Judaism is it is this eternal thing that has to be passed on from one generation to the next. And you see that in the Shema with the sons promising to follow in the footsteps of their father with the faith. And that's the challenge that we have. Make sure we pass the Masorah on.
Nice.
Yeah, and the analogy for that, I'm just thinking of Martin Luther King Jr.'s speeches, where he's quoting Isaiah. Doesn't take away from either Yeshaya's quote or from his speech. It adds it to that.
Yeah.
That's just flowing mighty waters.
Okay.
I think it adds depth to say here there are old pieces here that are coming through.
Yeah. Great.
Okay. I like that. Okay.
Thank you.
So I have to see what my schedule is. Next week we're going to go to Kansas City. So no shiur next week, and after that I'm kind of busy on Sundays. I'll just get back to regular schedule, but I will send out the email. And if I'm not working Thursdays, I will try to do a Thursday night, 11 p.m. or 700 hours in Israel. Do you want to get up early, Phyllis?
Yeah.
Is that early?
What is that, 7 a.m.?
Yeah.
7 a.m., yeah.
That's not early, sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.